Today I would like to speak to you about the vice of avarice based on today's gospel of the unjust steward. Avarice is the inordinate desire for the goods of this world. And notice that it is defined by inordinate desire and not necessarily by inordinate possession. For the poor man, even he who is destitute, is able to be avaricious because he inordinately desires more than he should have. In order to understand avarice, we must first understand that all created things are made to serve God. When they do not serve God, they become disordered things. God has given us bodies, and therefore it is necessary for us to use certain things in order to keep our lives going. Therefore, we must have food, we must have transportation, we must have houses, we must have clothing, and many other things which are necessary not only for our survival, but also for our comfort. When we go beyond the standard of what we moderately and reasonably need for our state in life, either for our survival or our comfort, then we are in a disordered use of the things of this world. Now, our use of the temporal goods is regulated by our state in life, and therefore not everyone will have the same title to the use of temporal goods. For example, the President must use temporal goods in order to maintain the image of his state in life, which is a very dignified one. He must use temporal goods more than a simple laborer or farmer, for these last two have no image of dignity to portray as a duty of state in life. Were the farmer or the laborer to dress and to have a home and to act like the president with regard to use of goods of state and life, he would be avaricious and even absurd. And were the president to abandon the goods of his state and life in order to have the appearance of a laborer or a farmer, he too would be absurd and would do a disservice to his dignity as president. The same may be said of other states in life, such as that of an ambassador, a businessman, a pope, a cardinal, a bishop. For there are certain things which go with each state in life, and those things must be used as part of that state in life. Nor is it to say that it is the message of the gospel that everyone must take the vow of poverty. The reason why it is meritorious to live like a nun, or like a brother, a religious brother, or like a monk, under the vow of poverty, where they renounce all ownership, even the ownership of the habits that they wear, and where they are given things to use by their order, even the books that they use, anything they have, including the clothing that they wear, is given to them for their use. The reason why that state in life is meritorious is because there is a true and legitimate use of the things of this world. just as the reason why the state of consecrated virginity, that of a nun, that of a priest, that of a monk, that of any other person in religious life, the reason why that is meritorious is because there is a legitimate and good use of marriage. So it is not to say that anyone that does not live like a monk is sinning or is avaricious. Rather, it is to say that even in the legitimate use of things, there is moderation and reason. Just as there is a chastity that pertains to marriage, so also there is a moderation and a reason that pertains to the use of the things of this world. The typical ways of being avaricious for men are a love of money itself, the love of toys, that is, gadgets and playthings, true toys. Men love toys, even grown men love toys, and they have an excessive desire and lust for them. Men typically love cars and tend to buy flashy cars or sports cars, things beyond their needs or duties of state in life. Women, on the other hand, love clothing and makeup. The placement of clothing, women's clothing and makeup in a department store is an attestation to this. That if one enters into a department store, virtually the first 7/8 of it is women's clothing and makeup, and they buy a great deal of it. That is a sign that, and it is definitely true, that one of the weaknesses of women is in clothing and makeup. Also, household items. There is a tendency among them to buy things for the house or the household that are of little or no use, little knick-knacks that really do not do anything but clutter up. Also, women have a devotion to shopping itself, shopping for the sake of shopping, just going to see things, and they take a joy in buying things, no matter what it should be, just the act of buying and acquiring something. That is a weakness of women with regard to avarice. They even do it as a recreation, to go shopping. And everyone can be avaricious with regard to vacations and amusements, to do this excessively. Vacations and amusements are a necessary part of life. It is not avaricious to desire these things, but we can desire them too much and enjoy them too much, spend too much on them. Avarice leads to other sins, as we see from the gospel. It leads to lying and cheating. The reason why the unjust steward was unjust was because of his love of money. And he continues to lie and to cheat in order to get himself out of his predicament. When there is this lust for money, lying and cheating comes easy. There is also the effect of hard-heartedness. The avaricious man loves money or goods so much that he cannot make any room for mercy or pity. And he has a very difficult time in helping the poor, even in a non-monetary way, just helping somebody who is in distress, because his heart becomes hardened and cold to other people's difficulties. Now, these are some signs of avarice. The hoarding of things. If your garage is full of many little things that you have not used for a long time, or if your house or closets are cluttered with a lot of things that you have not used for a long time, if you are, as they say, a pack rat for things. That's a sign of avarice. The love of costly clothing, books, furniture, and other articles of this nature. All right. It is one thing to appreciate the beauty of such things. It's another thing to lust after having them. If you see it, you must have it. That's a sign of avarice. Another sign is excessive attention to neatness in one's surroundings. And I say excessive attention because neatness is a virtue. But if there is an excess of attention to neatness, it is a sign of avarice. The desire for and the purchase of unnecessary things. If typically you go out shopping and you buy things on impulse, that's a sign of avarice. Another sign of avarice is a resentment of rich people. This is the avarice of the poor man. The reason why he resents the rich person is because he is envious of what he has. He has an inordinate desire for money and for the goods that money will buy. And as much as it is wrong for the rich person to despise the poor person, it is equally wrong for the poor person to despise the rich person. Because God assigns riches and poverty as he will. And he gives riches to the rich man so that he may help others. He gives poverty to the poor man in order that, as St. Pius X, he might be signed by that poverty with which our Lord Jesus Christ was signed. And if we understand the gospel, we understand that the reception of crosses in this life is a sign of the love of God, and the greatest cross of all being borne by our Lord Jesus Christ. Another sign of avarice is excessive attention paid to the price or the quality of gifts received. If you complain easily that someone did not give you a good enough gift, or if you look for the price, or if you go and try to find out what the price paid was, it's a sign of avarice. If you find joy or satisfaction in counting money, that's a sign of avarice. If you count it many times, and if you look in your bank books a great deal, and are satisfied with the money that you have, frequent acts of such satisfaction is a sign of avarice. The inability to live in modest surroundings is a sign of avarice. Some people become so attached to a soft and very comfortable life that they are unable to live in modesty anymore, that they so raise their standards of living that they are unable and are live in misery if they should be reduced to modesty. The wearing of expensive jewelry outside of the proper occasions. There is a time to be well dressed. There is a time to wear expensive jewelry. But typically the woman or the man whose hand is filled with expensive rings, diamonds, or who is constantly seen in jewelry that is beyond either state in life or beyond the occasion that would demand it, you see a sign of avarice. Gold bracelets and dripping jewelry worn as a daily decoration of oneself. Desiring to buy cars or homes beyond the needs or dictates of a person's state in life is also a sign of avarice. The malice of avarice consists in a mistrust of God's providence, where we bank more on ourselves and human beings than we do on the providence of God. And secondly, it is a misuse of the things of God, for all things belong to God, and they are given to us to use. The remedies to avarice are these. First, to trust in the providence of God. Pray to God that you receive in this life what you need, neither excess nor defect, but that you receive what you need to carry out your duties of state and life. For excess can be a great temptation to avarice, and defect can cause great misery in this life. And we should ask God that we receive what we should receive. And if we receive excess, that we have the courage to give it away. Secondly, reasonably spend and reasonably save. Every dollar you make will be spent one day. You will spend it, or your children will spend it. But it will be spent. And the duty is to spend it in a reasonable manner. And hence you can sin either by spending it foolishly or by saving it avariciously. Reason must guide everything. When you see something that you like or you want to buy, ask yourself, do I need this or do I want it? Do I need it or do I want it? It's the first question. If you need it, buy it. If you want it, ask yourself, is this a reasonable comfort? Does this desire of mine for this thing go beyond the norms of reason? And where in doubt, ask a prudent person. But on the other hand, you must reasonably save. It would be wrong to spend everything and then arrive in old age and have nothing. Reflect before you buy. Wait a little bit, especially on a large item. Give to the poor and to the church. For the poor live off of your excess, so does the church. And it is a necessary part of life to give to both of these things. And occasionally, give away something that is dear to you as a discipline of detachment. If somebody needs something, if someone is in need, give something away that is dear to you. And always remember that our Lord said that where our heart is, there is our treasure. And remember that the excessive attachments to things in this world will not be able to pass into heaven. We live in a time of unprecedented prosperity. Never in the history of the world have we seen the prosperity that we see today. And despite complaints about the economy from time to time, we are living in a time of unbridled prosperity. And our parents who lived in the 1930s or grandparents who lived at the turn of the century could not even dream of having the wealth that we attain today. We average people, average workers, attain a wealth and a standard of living that was unheard of 100 years ago, unheard of 50 years ago. We therefore have this temptation to live like this and to demand excessive things. And this excessive attachment will have to be burned off in a very costly manner in purgatory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.